sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
A mother's breastfeeding experience changes drastically over time, starting with her child's birth through the months of her baby's life. Today, we continue our conversation in our series called Breastfeeding Expectations. Over 12 months, we will be following three new mothers along their breastfeeding journeys, learning how they cope with breastfeeding challenges and settle into the breastfeeding rhythm with their babies. This is The Boob Group, episode 55.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also an international board certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Boob Group Club. Our members get all of our archived episodes, bonus content after each new show, special giveaways, and discounts. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter for a chance to win a membership to our club each month. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free app available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. We also have something cool going on right now. It's a Mother's Day giveaway. If you go to our website, theboobgroup.com, and go under the giveaway section, you have a chance to be entered for one of these fantastic three prizes. So the first one is the Safety First Advanced Solutions Collection. It has lots of great items, such as the no-touch thermometer, which is awesome in our house, the nasal aspirator, which is my kid's least favorite thing in the cupboard, and some oral care and hairbrush and comb and nail clippers and things like that. Nip clippers. Nail clippers, no nip clippers. Another thing you could be entered for is the new Mobi Go carrier, which is perfect for older babies on the go, as well as the Peekaway 4-in-1 Essentials Nursing Kit. So this is a cute little bag that holds a nursing pillow, a built-in changing pad with removable wipes, and a nursing cover that ensures privacy even in public. So go ahead to our website and enter the Rafflecopter giveaway, and you could be entered for one of these three fantastic prizes. So today, Jen is actually on vacation with her family, so we have our other two lovely panelists in the studio. Would you like to introduce yourselves, please?
Sure. Hi, I'm Cherry Christensen. I'm 32, and I work in consumer research, and I have one daughter. Her name is Callie, and she is 10 months old.
And I'm Annie Hall. I'm 36 years old, almost 37.
But 37 in 2 weeks.
Still younger than Ms. Robin Kaplan. And I have a daughter who's almost 12 months, Ellie, and that's it.
All right. I know, I was telling my husband yesterday on the way home from driving somewhere, I'm like, I'm going to be 37 in 2 weeks. Like, that seems really, really old to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not. Like, I feel young. I can't believe I've been, you know, alive 37 years. I'm like, I know. But when you say 37, it just seems old.
Yeah.
So I apologize for anyone listening who's over 37. I swear you're not old, but just I feel really old at 37.
It's just no, that no, I feel like I was just 16. That's,
I know.
That's why 37 suddenly feels like, holy cow, that's two decades ago.
I know. So, I know. Crazy. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
So here's a question that we received on our Facebook page. This is from Adrian, and it says, "Hi, Robin. I came to this page with a question I had about weaning a toddler and came across this podcast. So helpful. With my oldest son, I had been told by a lactation consultant and attachment parenting specialist that if I didn't wean him by 18 months, it could become a child-led weaning issue. She said that if I chose to wean after 18 months, it would be very hard for him both cognitively and emotionally. This caused me a lot of stress because I didn't want a nursing four-year-old, so I weaned him right before he turned 18 months. Luckily, it was an easy process and turned out to be very mutual. Ashton is now 15 months, and my goal is to make it to 2 years. But I was worried about traumatizing him if I was ready to wean and he wasn't. From listening to this podcast, I now feel that it's not so much the age of the child, but rather that the child is gently weaned over a period of time. Sorry for the lengthy post, but I've just been thinking about this a lot, and I wanted your thoughts. Thanks."
Hi, Adrian. This is Andrea Blanco, International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. Ashton sounds like a very lucky toddler to have a mom who's so concerned with his well-being. As you mentioned, weaning at any age should be done gently if possible. I've helped many mothers wean their toddlers at different ages and haven't noticed that any one age is necessarily easier or more difficult than the other. The children who show the most resistance are also the ones who have the strongest personalities. As long as the process is done with love and patience and understanding, Ashton will follow your lead. When you're ready, consistency is key, and understanding that sometimes you and him may take 3 steps forward only to take 2 back. Best of luck to you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So today on The Boob Group, we're discussing with Annie and Cherry their breastfeeding experiences and what they've been like during their baby's 10th and 11th month. I realize we're kind of, Cherry said in the last episode that we recorded that she doesn't want to round up that her baby's in her 11th month.
Today?
So she'll be
11 months in a week. By the time this airs, she'll be 11 months.
Okay. And Annie's will be just cutting it into that 11th month because she's going to be a year. I can't believe it. So ladies, what has it been like to breastfeed an almost or an 11-month-old? What does your breastfeeding relationship look like right now? Cherry, you want to go first?
Active. It is. I remember when she was first born, and I would see all these pictures on the internet of, you know, sort of nursing toddlers and getting into all these weird positions and things like that. And now I truly, truly can understand and relate to that because she can't sit still to nurse. Sometimes, I mean, it's early in the morning or late at night are still my favorites just because that's when it's kind of most peaceful. But the positions that she'll get into, and now that she's standing, you know, we may be laying on the couch, but she wants to stand and nurse, and she'll go from the left to the right, to the left, to the right. I'm not exaggerating the speed at which that happens. And then her newest thing, which I think I may have mentioned last month, I'm not sure, but she likes to hold on to the nipple that she's not nursing.
And it's the volume control. You didn't know that?
Well, that's... So that's actually exactly how she's treating it. She'll grab it between her thumb and her little, you know, pincer grasp, and she's holding onto the nipple, and she will sort of dial it like it's, like she's adjusting the radio station or something.
Yeah. She's crying. Adjusting the speed.
I would not be able to handle that.
I would just lose it.
So that has been every single nursing session for the last week or two. We were on vacation, which I know we're going to talk about, so I'll save that. But thankfully, when we were kind of out and about on vacation, she actually didn't do that much. But I do sleep without a shirt most nights, just because it's been so much easier with nursing, because then I don't have to worry if she can't find it and she's fussing, and then I don't have to wake up as fully. But then the downside is at night she has such easy access to the little radio dial that she can just grab hold. And so when she's doing that left, right, she'll switch too. So she's nursing on the left, she's holding on the right, then she's nursing on the right and she's holding on to the left.
Oh my gosh.
And I have to share a funny story, because the other night, I mean,
I thought that was funny.
Well, I have to share another funny story, in that I decided that my husband needed to experience this. So I obviously was not nursing with my husband, but I said to him, I was like, I just want you to imagine this. And so I simulated it with one hand. I was just like kind of like cupping one side, and then I was like tweaking his nipple on the other side. And he's like, oh my God, that's so irritating. Stop it. And I was like, no, wait, it's just been like 2 seconds. Hold on. And then I switched and did the other side, and then he was laughing. He was like, oh my God, that's ticklish. That's irritating. That's annoying. Whatever.
It's and so much stimulation.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this has been like 1 minute. Are you joking? Like, this is my life all day. So it's definitely been very, very entertaining, and she's still not doing solid. So this is what we do all day long, but it's all good. We're having a good time.
That's awesome. How about you, Annie?
I just think this is so interesting because it's so opposite. My experience is so opposite of yours. Ellie I think I'm in transition of just breastfeeding her twice a day, and stopping to pump at work.
That's great.
Which is really nice. But it's and then I remember feeling like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to stop? And now it just feels like it's the energy in me, it feels like it's ready to stop. And so it's just sort of happening. And the energy for me to like keep working, or I don't feel stressed out about that needing to pump.
Yeah.
So that I recognize that and know that I'm ready to stop pumping at work, which is great. So I'm a little nervous about sort of now that I'm not pumping, and then transitioning to not breastfeeding. So then I'm going to have to take care of all the food for her, and making sure I have the right foods in the house, and then making sure I have food made for when I get home from work. And so I'm a little stressed out about that. But as far as breastfeeding, I'm now sort of looking forward to just breastfeeding her in the morning and at night, and cherishing those two times. And Jesse asked me what I wanted to do tomorrow for Mother's Day, and I said I just want her on me.
Yeah.
I just want to wear her. So I'm feeling maybe that sort of through that transition that I'm wanting to hold her close as much as possible. And she's walking all over the place.
I know. It's crazy.
She is?
Yes. She walked across my kitchen a couple of days
ago.
Gosh.
We were
like, holy cow.
So,
oh my gosh.
You know, she's never, as far as breastfeeding, she's never switched positions or stood, or she does all those things on her own, but she nestles in and she just stays on one side, and then she pulls off when she gets frustrated and I put her back on, that's just the way it's been. And when we've breastfed, it's usually me going to get her to bring her on. She never has crawled up or walked up. So it's very interesting because it's a totally different experience.
Oh, Callie will tell me. I sign milk with her every single day, multiple times a day. She will not sign milk. But when she wants it, she will crawl over to me and start grabbing at my clothes. She'll pull my clothes off. You know, sometimes if she can't get the shirt off, she'll just try latch on anyway.
Yeah.
So she knows what she wants when she wants it.
I love how different it is. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So what's the easiest part of breastfeeding right now, and kind of what's the most challenging, would you say? Cherry, how about you first?
Easy. Well, I was actually just at a La Leche League meeting 2 days ago, and I think sometimes you forget. Well, actually, no, it's a good thing we forget, right? Because otherwise we wouldn't do this all over again. But I was just watching a mom with a sort of brand new little squish that was only a couple weeks old, you know, struggling with, you know, getting the baby to latch, and I think I take that for granted. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is like, I don't have to worry about latch. So anyone out there that's listening that's struggling with the latch right now with a little itty bitty baby, it won't last forever. So I think that's easy. Just, you know, I don't have to worry so much about her cues anymore, although that's not unique to 10 or 11 months. That's been for a while. But we're just really in sync with one another. Everything kind of feels a lot easier these days. So
cool. Anything challenging?
Anything challenging?
Besides the nipple tweaking.
The nipple tweaking, probably. Yeah, what's challenging?
If there's nothing, you don't have to say anything.
I think what I mentioned before about the signing, you know, we took sign language classes from when she was only about 10 or 11 weeks old. I started signing with her from the day she was born. Like, she should be speaking fluent sign language at the rate we're going. All I want is milk. You know, that's all I want. And that, to me, I wish that I could get her to communicate a little bit better. I certainly know when she wants it. But the, like, sometimes if my husband's holding her, she'll start having, like, a little tantrum, the crawling all over me, the clawing at my shirt. It would just be so much easier if she could just do this. And I'm doing the little milk sign for milk right now for those who can't see. That's challenging. Yeah. You know, it's not a deal breaker, and we'll keep trying, but that would just make things a little easier if she could just be like, hey, I want some milk. Yeah. And then we can skip the whole, like, fussing part.
Absolutely. How about you, Annie? What's the most challenging?
I think that maybe I don't know what's easiest because it's easy. Yeah. So her transferring to bottle to other people has been so easy. I haven't had to worry about that from the beginning. So I'm really grateful that I can work and not worry about what she's doing during the day and what she's taking, because she just takes the bottle so great. And so I think my challenge coming up is just translating to coconut milk and going weaning. That's my challenge, because I'm a little nervous about just making sure she has the right food and I don't know. It's a new thing to obsess about.
Totally. So, Cherry, you just got back from a vacation with your family, and I know Annie has a big trip up on the horizon. So what was it like traveling with an almost 11-month-old, and any travel tips for parents with a crawling baby?
Yeah, it was actually great. I never traveled with her earlier, not on a plane anyway. And so I really didn't know what to expect. And this trip was supposed to be something that we did when she was about 3 months old, and due to some, like, postpartum complications, there was no way we were traveling. And in hindsight, I think, oh gosh, that would have been so much easier. I just would have had this, you know, sort of chill sleeping baby. But it was great. She was wonderful. I would say, you know, baby wearing was key. You know, standing at the airport in the airport parking lot, looking at all these different carriers that I brought with me, trying to decide which one. And I was like, oh, screw it, I'll just bring all of them. And so I ended up taking about 4 different wraps or carriers or slings with me. I used every single one of them at some point on the trip. And then on the actual flying part, Annie, are you going to be flying on your trip or driving?
We'll be flying. We'll both.
On the actual flying part, I wore her on the plane. I wore her throughout the whole airport. We don't own a stroller. So that wasn't, everyone's like, oh, take the stroller. And I'm like, well, we don't even have one. So, and I'm glad we didn't. I wore her through the whole airport. I was a little bit worried about, you know, wanting to give her time to kind of crawl around, but then also kind of being a little icky.
Yeah, touching
airport. And I actually just wore her the whole time. And when her free time, you know, and sort of in quotes, was taking her out of the carrier and letting her sort of play around on our laps, I didn't really let her actually crawl around the airport. But it was actually fairly easy. And I think baby wearing and breastfeeding were the two things that really got us through. We had 4 flights, 2 to our destination and then 2 back. And on the third flight, which was actually a red eye, which was the one that I was, like, the most petrified about. Yeah. Because if you have a screaming baby at 2 in the afternoon, people are going to be annoyed. But no one's really got this expectation of having good night's sleep. Although people shouldn't have an expectation of a good night's sleep on a red eye either. But on a red eye, you know, the lights are dim. People are expecting it to be quiet. And she slept from about 10 minutes after takeoff. And she was still asleep when we got off the plane in Los Angeles. And I, of course, did not sleep. I slept maybe an hour or two, because she kept waking up. And every time she would sort of, like, wake up, I would just shove a boob in and just keep her, you know, keep her asleep. But a guy in a row, one or 2 rows in front of me, turned around to me as we were sort of getting off the plane, and he's like, oh my god, he's like, I did not hear your baby once, like, what did you give your baby? And I think he was thinking, like,
Dramamine or something.
Yeah, that I had drugged her or something. And I was so, like, I was so out of it at the time. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, we haven't slept in like 2 days, that I just kind of smiled and I said, oh, I'm so, you know, I'm just really grateful. And he's like, no, I'm really grateful. But then afterwards, I was like, oh, why didn't I tell him, like, milk, mommy's milk, that's what I gave her, you know, baby Ambien. But yeah, so it was really great. So those would be my tips to you, Annie. Is definitely have, like, a good carrier if you have one too, or borrow one from someone for the plane. And that kind of keeps baby close and sort of eliminates, especially if she's walking now, because she might want to be running up and down the aisle. So if she is walking, then I would say let her do that at the airport. Find a little sort of quiet, secluded place where you can let her run around and get that energy out maybe before the plane.
Yeah, good tip. Good tip. Oh, and Cherry, also one other question before we get to our break. You had mentioned that before the show, you and I had spoken that you hadn't pumped while you were on vacation because you were together. And then when you got back, you noticed your pumping output had gone down. Yes. So has it gotten better since you've been back at work?
It has gotten better. So much better than I actually woke up this morning and I was brushing my teeth and all of a sudden my leg felt wet. And I looked down and I was totally leaking. And I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to tell Robin. because yes, we weren't gone for that long, but there was a weekend before and on either end. And so I actually ended up not pumping for going on 10 or 11 days. And I've always had an oversupply. And I think that on this trip was the first time that I didn't. It was, you know, it's been a long time since I've been exclusively breastfeeding with no pumping. And I think just that in those 10 days, miraculously, for the first time ever, we just got into total rhythm and sync with sort of our demand and supply. And there was no excess. And so when I came back to work and I pumped the first time, you know, and I don't want to make people feel bad because I'll say my poor output and then someone will be like, that's more than I ever get. But for me, it was about 50% less than I normally pumped. And I kind of freaked out. I was sitting there in the nursing room texting Robin being like, oh! and then the next day was just a little bit better. And then on Thursday, which was kind of day three, it was like maybe half an ounce more, but each day was just going up and up until yesterday was pretty much back at my normal. And there is no normal. I mean, my variance can really depend from day to day, but it was more in line with my average. And it was the first day that I went into the pumping room feeling like I need to pump, because I hadn't had that feeling. But every other session that I had this past week was more just me looking at the clock and being like, all right, it's been 3 hours, I should go. And I feel a lot of relief. And so it was definitely a day of worry. And I definitely dipped into my freezer for the first time, which was a new experience. But everything's better.
Very cool. All right. Well, when we come back, Annie and Cherry will discuss how much they plan to continue to pump at work. I know Annie's kind of touched on that already. And what they feel most proud about as they are approaching their baby's first birthdays. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome back. Today we're talking with Annie and Cherry about breastfeeding during their baby's 11th month. And so, Annie, now that Ellie is eating so much solid food, you had mentioned that you're thinking about cutting out that pumping session at work. Do you think you'll drop it in the near future? Have you already started?
Well, I didn't do it yesterday.
How'd your boobs feel?
They were fine, but I fed her when I got home, so earlier than, and then I didn't feed her before she went to sleep, but that was because we went out, so I probably would have done a couple of times, so at dinner and then before she went to sleep. Mm-hmm. And in talking with her care provider, she told me that she just wasn't that interested in the bottle as much, so I cut that down to one bottle, which it's sort of still the same amount of milk, but I just put it in one bottle. Maybe it's a little bit less. And so that's kind of my goal, is to just have her supplement during the day with I think I'm going to start with coconut milk. And then, yeah, I mean, it was fine. So I might try that this week. What I'm trying to do is wean before I go on the 2-week trip.
Yeah.
Or at least I don't know, because there's something else that's coming up in July that we're going to be gone for, and I don't want her to have breast milk during that weekend. So I think that's the end of July is my goal, to be completely done.
Okay. Have you switched her to a sippy cup yet? I knew that my kids, as soon as my kids started getting something other than breast milk in a bottle, they were like, I don't want this bottle anymore. And so we just switched straight to sippy cup, which was nice and easy.
So that was that. She has cups with straws and cups with sippy. Uh-huh. So I haven't put milk in it yet, though. So that was, I was going to do that next.
Very cool. Cherry, since Callie is still mostly on breast milk and not tuna solids, how often are you pumping at work?
I'm still pumping twice at work. I'm gone usually, it depends, but on average from sort of 9 to 6-ish. And so I usually will try and pump sometime between 11 and 12, and then again between 2 and 4, depending on when the first one was. Every now and then I would just pump once a day. Like if I didn't get there at 11 and all of a sudden it was 1 o'clock, then it would seem stupid at 4:30 to be pumping when I'm like, I can just stick it out an hour, I can just go home. So I'm still pumping, you know, twice a day. And I had this realization, especially at the La Leche League meeting that I was at, where I was chatting with one or two other moms who had gone through similar experiences, that I will be pumping at work for a while. Because my initial plan was, well, not plan, but I came to this realization a couple of weeks into pumping at work when I was hating it, that I was like, I can breastfeed for a really long time and not have to pump for a really long time. Like, those two things don't have to be equal. But because she's not taking any solids, I have to pump.
Yeah.
I don't really, you know, have a choice about that. So we'll see. I'm not pushing the food thing. She's not interested. I kind of offer. I'm very sort of low key about it. We'll kind of make another try in another month or two or three. We'll see. But she's growing. She's growing and she's great and she's healthy and she's gaining weight like a champion and she's almost tripled her birth weight and she's only 10 months. So I'm not worried. If she wasn't growing, I'd probably be a little bit more freaked out about it. Other people are more freaked out about it. Like I just get way more weird reactions from other people. Like, she's not eating anything. And I'm like, you know, have you ever met an adult that doesn't eat? Like, everyone will eat eventually, right? You know, someone said that to me the other day and I was like, oh, of course. Like, he's like, I've never met a child that didn't eat at some point. So, yeah, and we have no food allergies in my family. I was always an adventurous eater when I was a kid, and my parents really encouraged that. So I'm like, you know what, we'll wait till we get there. In the meantime, I'll just enjoy this, because I have those days and those moments where it's really frustrating, but then I think to myself, oh my gosh, I can just fast forward a couple of years and just remember this and be like, oh, I missed that. So I try and be in the moment and just enjoy it and not obsess too much about what's happening, but at the same time, just be comfortable and accept the fact that I will probably be pumping twice a day at work for at least, you know, another couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. Annie, now that you are coming up upon Ellie's first birthday, which totally made me cry, are you starting to think about this weaning completely? You had just mentioned you're kind of aiming for July. So have you thought about how you're going to do that?
No.
Want some help?
I do. Help.
Well, I was going to say, actually, the way that you're doing it is perfectly appropriate. You just start dropping either a pumping session or you drop a feeding very casually and just do it slowly. So the way that you've been doing it is actually, you followed your intuition and it's been perfect. So
I have a question. If someone wants to do that, would they drop, and let's say there was normally I'm just making this up, a 2 o'clock feed or a 2 o'clock pumping session, would you drop that 2 o'clock consistently every day? Or would it be like maybe on Wednesday you do it and Tuesday you don't, and Thursday, and sort of a slow gradual? So it's first you're doing it every day, then it's every other day, then it's maybe every third day. Like, how much of a transition do you need to drop it completely?
Great question. To be honest, there's no straight way to do it. It really is just kind of tuning into your body. So if a mom dropped it, say Monday, she dropped it a pumping session, for example. Those ones are lovely to get rid of. the pumping session at work on Monday. And Tuesday she was planning on dropping it too, but she felt like she was getting a plug duct. Or felt really, really full, much more full than the day before. Then maybe she pumps Tuesday and then she takes off Wednesday. Typically I recommend just dropping it, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday along. But at the same time, I'll find moms like 4 days into it feeling like, I just need to release the pressure at that time and then we'll go back into it. So it really is just a matter of following your intuition, following your body, making sure that your breasts are never getting too uncomfortable so that way it ends up causing plugged ducts, mastitis, milk blisters, things like that. So, and also choosing ones that are, a lot of, most moms I find save the wake one right when the baby wakes up, right when the baby goes to bed, or as child, you know, who knows how old they are when they're feeding them. So, you know, wake up in the morning, going down to bed, and then maybe a nap one as well. Those are the hardest ones to get rid of because they're the most squishy then. And so, like, there's nothing better than pulling a baby into bed with you, nursing them, and then you guys get to snuggle or actually go to sleep for another hour or two. I mean, that's fantastic. Or nursing them to sleep and then they fall asleep on you. And Annie, you've said too, like, Ellie will pull off and then just pop her thumb into her mouth. And she's like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And then she falls asleep in your arms, or she's so snuggly in your arms. And so those ones are the hardest ones to get to end on. And so really getting rid of the middle of the night ones as well as the middle of the day ones are kind of the easiest transition. And then you choose which one is your absolute most favorite time, and you save that one for the last. And then you just kind of ease your way out of it. But there are some moms who will keep those beginning of the day and end of the night for months, you know, because they're just, mom and baby are just enjoying those so much and they work so well in their lives that they actually just don't even get rid of those. I've had moms also whose babies have been, I think Ellie will be about 14 months when you go away, who've, you know, had a couple breastfeeding sessions. They have to go out of town for a couple days. They end up not pumping and they come back. And they actually keep nursing after that. So they just kind of jump back into it. And the baby's probably not getting, you know, a full feeding for those mornings or evening ones. But that cuddle time was so important that they just jump right back into it too. Or they don't. You know, I've seen both ways. But it's whatever works best for the family. So, but just paying attention to your breasts and making sure that they're not ready to explode because you're getting rid of, you know, dropping feedings, and maybe that's not the best one to drop.
So then when you drop those feedings, do you then supplement with like a milk?
It depends.
Do you have to?
No, you don't have to. That's the thing. We're all very focused on calcium and transitioning over to dairy. I'll say this because the dairy industry and so is so prevalent. And so to be honest, no. You know, baby's normal weaning age in the world is, you know, about 4 to 7. And so they're getting mom's milk. They're not getting as much as they are getting in that first year. But that's their nutrition as well. They're liquid. But you can switch to water. You can switch to coconut milk. You could switch to a little bit of, you know, even juice and water mixed together. But there doesn't have to be a milk substance.
Okay.
So you can choose whatever you want to put in there. So if it's going to do coconut milk, hemp milk, almond milk, anything like that is totally fine at that, you know, 1 year mark. So I know, right? Lots of interesting stuff. All right, ladies, looking back over these past 11 months, what are you most proud about when it comes to breastfeeding? And even what are you most proud about, you know, just being a mom? We're coming up on Mother's Day. So talking about this transition into motherhood.
I think in terms of just being most proud about coming to breastfeeding, just that I didn't give up. You know, I kind of went into it when I was pregnant saying that I will make this work no matter what, which I think is like just probably the number one contributing factor to my success, in addition to just a huge bunch of resources and people and support. But I think I just was determined to make it work. And so sitting here, you know, when you asked the question, you know, at the beginning of the show about, you know, what's easy, and I said, well, kind of everything's easy. You know, there was definitely a time where I was sitting in my bedroom at 3 o'clock in the morning, crying my eyes out in pain, being like, oh my God, like this is how it's going to be like forever. Because in that moment, you feel like it is. But I think that's what I'm really proud of, is that I didn't give up and I got to this easy point, even if I have to have my nipples tweaked every time I feed her. That this too shall pass. And what am I most proud of with becoming a mother? You know, I think you asked this question actually a couple months ago, and I think my answer is probably the same, which was that I've just tapped into this inner voice that I just didn't know that was there, and just found this confidence in myself and in trusting my own decisions. Because with breastfeeding, with parenting, with sleep, with food, with everything, everyone has an opinion. Everyone has
multiple opinions.
And to just be able to kind of tune all of that out, not to say that I don't ever ask for advice or listen to people's advice, but just to be able to really just trust in myself and just know what's right for my family without feeling influenced by other people. So even if what I'm doing is completely different, like the food, for example, the fact that I have a baby that doesn't eat and she's almost a year, doesn't bother me at all, you know, and it bothers everybody else. But well, that's their problem, you know.
I may not have made the creamy goodness that you make.
You know, hopefully it's not keeping them up at night, but it's not worrying me. So I think the only sad part about that is we're probably not going to have any cool smash the cake photos. Or we'll do, we will, but they'll probably be when she's three. So that's okay. But yeah, so I think just having that sort of like faith in myself is cool. Probably what I'm most proud of.
Awesome. How about you, Annie?
I would say the same thing, that I made it through the full year. Because we don't know when you're pregnant that it's going to be hard to breastfeed. You just think it's just, they just latch on, they just get on, and that's what happens. Because it's just natural, and it's just the way it works. You don't really realize that you have to work at it. Yeah. And that there's all these different things that could happen. And nobody talks about it because it doesn't necessarily happen to them. And what I'm saying is, you know, whether it's mastitis or bruises or cuts or whatever is happening that gets for that first, you know, few months, and then you get through that place and something new happens or whatever, but just sort of going through the roller coaster of the first year of all these firsts. So I'm proud of being on that other side. I'm proud of getting through delivery and being a year now and going, oh my gosh, I want to go back. I do. I kind of want to do it again, but not really. But I just want to be with Ellie on that day. Now that I know her, I just want to just sit there and just maybe be a fly on the wall of my day. But and then I think I don't know if it's being proud of from a mom's side, but just that it's settled in to just be so natural. And I didn't know, I think people talked about this, but I didn't know that it would just feel like she's me. Of course she's you. I mean, she was inside of you. Like, I just didn't know what that would feel like. And falling in love with her, and I didn't know that I was going to fall in love. Like, I think people talk about it, but I didn't hear it. I didn't feel it. So that's so sweet. So that's what I feel proud of is just feeling so natural and complete with being a mom, that role set in, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Well, thank you so much, Annie and Cherry, for chatting with us about breastfeeding your baby during her 11th month. And for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show. Is Annie and Cherry. We'll be discussing how their perspectives have changed about breastfeeding over these past 11 months. For more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at theboobgroup.com. Before we wrap things up today, here's Denise Altman with some nursing basics for the new mom.
Hey there, Boob Group. My name is Denise Altman, and I'm a private practice IBCLC, otherwise known as a registered lactation consultant. Private practice means that I have my own business, and I specialize in prenatal education and breastfeeding support. This session is about prenatal prep to breastfeeding, something I definitely have an opinion about. In addition, this session is for grandma and daddy, and other support persons helping the breastfeeding mama. Daddies in particular can really make or break a breastfeeding experience. Oftentimes, that important partner is mom's greatest advocate. When the partner is the daddy, and then the dad is attending the class, most men think differently than women think. Daddies are great for remembering diaper counts, times, and durations of feedings, that sort of thing. And we'll start taking notes about that, mental notes about that, those facts and topics during the class itself. When mom is in that emotional tailspin of being a new mother, all wrapped up in that baby and that feeding experience, oftentimes it's dad who's the one that can kind of pull out those facts from his memory and use that male analytical thinking to help be supportive and help her figure her way through any difficulties or challenges. Grandmas are a great resource in the breastfeeding classes especially. Many grandmas, in my experience, are very interested in breastfeeding. They've heard enough through the media to know that this is how things are being done in this day and age. But often, grandma herself did not breastfeed or didn't have a positive breastfeeding experience. If grandma's educated prenatally, it's far more likely that she will be a help and advocate for mama. I love it when I see grandmas coming to feeding consultations or sitting in class, because often they have lots of good common sense suggestions about baby care that just help mama as well. I hope that the information in this session can get you started on exploring your options. For additional tips on choosing a breastfeeding class, please visit my website at feedyourbaby.com and keep listening to The Boob Group.
All right, well, this wraps up our show today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, Parent Savers, for moms and dads with newborns, infants, and toddlers. Coming up next week, we have Rose Devine-Jakowitz discussing breastfeeding a baby with jaundice. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.